Put your hands together for Jesus today. There's such a powerful declaration. As I was singing that, I could just feel God's Holy Spirit just drawing His people closer to Him this morning. As you declare that out of your mouth, you know, sometimes we go through seasons in our lives and we think, God, where are you? But He knows who you are. He knows your name. He has even your hairs numbered, the Bible says. And some of you, you need to be reminded of that. And that's why this song is so important to each and every one of us today, that no matter where you are in life, He cares for you. He's helping you. You know, we had a storm yesterday and it's thrown many off track, lost power, damage at their home. But in all of that, God is still right there with you and I. And He's there to help you and I. I just, as I'm standing there this morning, I just wondered, I think that this is a moment today where for some of you, you just need to reaffirm that in your heart and in your life. Amanda, I want you to sing that one more time. You just need to declare that. You need to make it known in your life. You need to set something straight with the world, hell, the devil, and whoever else, that God knows your name and that He is for you today. And if that's you this morning, as she sings that, come on up here, honey, sing that again. I just want you to slip out of your seat this morning and come down and stand down front. Nobody's going to do anything. Pray. I don't know if anybody will pray over you or not, but just come on. Just come down. This is a new day. Where Aaron said it a couple weeks ago. You don't have to wait until the first of the year for something new to start in your life. You can start it right now. Come on. Come on. Sing it, honey. Sing it out.
No fire.
Come on. Get out of your seat right now.
No battle.
Thank you, Jesus.
No,
something great is happening in somebody's life here this morning.
And your victory, because your power is within me.
Come on, lift up a hand to heaven. Speak these words over your life. Sing it again, Mandy.
No fire can burn me.
No.
No battle can turn me.
Thank you, Lord.
No mountain can stop me, because you hold my hand.
Come on, say it.
And I walk in your victory. Because your power is within me. No giant can stop me. Because you hold my hand. No fire can get me. No battle can turn me. No mountain can stop me. Because you hold my hand. And I walk in your victory. Because your power is within me. No giant can defeat me. Because you hold my hand. And you hold my hand.
Yes.
And you hold my hand. You hold my hand.
Father, I pray for everyone today. In particular, these who came and stepped forward to declare, this is my year. This is my time. Lord, you have brought me into the kingdom for such a time as this right now. And I'm not waiting for another day, another week, another new year, but this is the day that you have made, and my life is going to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, this day we will walk in newness. This day we will not let fire burn us. This day we will not let any battle have dominion over us. This day, God, we will walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. And for that, we worship you and we thank you. Come on, all over the building today, just begin to say, God, we thank you. Come on. Come on. Open up your mouth. Clap your hands. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Come on. Let this be a birthing room of praise for a moment. We thank you, Lord. You know our name, God. And I speak over everyone that is up here today. Lord, some who come to you today that have stains on their name. that the world looks at them one way, but God, you look at them in a totally different way. Because you know who they've been created to be. And you have a plan. And you have a purpose. And from the foundations of the earth when they were formed, God, you spoke that clearly over their lives and spoke that into existence. And Lord, today we stand in agreement with you in that. And we thank you, God, that no matter what anybody else says about who we are, you have declared that you know our name and that we are righteous, that we are saved, that we are born again and born anew, that the old things are gone, and behold, you make all things in our lives brand new, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Somebody needs over here to hear that this morning. I said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Lord, I praise you today for your house and for your people and for what you are doing in each one of their lives. We give you the glory and we give you the praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Come on, everybody said a big amen. Come on, let's thank him one more time. God bless you guys. Hey, before you're seated, say hi to somebody. Wish them a Merry Christmas. Tell them you're glad you're in the house today. Oh, and the kids? And the kids can go. I was getting that wave up there. But Pastor Aaron is here to make it all right. Come on, will you give Pastor Aaron a big God bless you?
If you haven't registered your kids when you came in, you can do that right now with Miss Sam or Miss Cassandra. We have nursery, jam, and big kids for grades 1 through 6 available. Doesn't the band sound really good today? Like, I'm sitting over there listening to them all play. They sound so good. So last week, I made reference to Mary, if you were here, as Gabriel came to her and told her that she was going to conceive the baby Jesus, right? And her response was, how will this happen? And she trusted in God, may it be so, everything you said, right? She had faith that it was going to happen. And I think about that encounter, and it's always interesting to me, the encounter that happened with Zechariah around the same time, because he had the same type of encounter, but the results were different in his life. And so I'm just going to read that. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 11. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So same type of encounter. And there's a few correlations between these two things. Both encounters, both people are troubled, both Mary and Zechariah, when the angel, Gabriel, appears to them. Gabriel reassures both of them and says, don't be afraid. And both are given the name of their upcoming son, Jesus and John. Gabriel says to both of them, of the children, that they will be great. And in both encounters, the work of the Holy Spirit is referenced. And both Mary and Zechariah's reply was similar, but only Zechariah was punished. You see, we have to remember, I think about that, and we have to remember that the texts that were written are tone deaf. We don't know the tone in which Zechariah was responding or the tone in which Mary was responding, right? It's when someone sends you a text, you don't know the tone in which they were writing. Sometimes you may look at a text and you're like, what do they mean by that, right? See, Mary's reply may have been humble and seeking clarification, whereas Zechariah's tone could have been more rhetorical and doubtful and sarcastic. And we don't know for sure their tone. There must have been some sort of internal reason of heart and tone of the voice that makes the replies different, because God is not unjust in what he does. So ultimately, the difference comes down to what many situations come down to, and that is a matter of the heart. It's a heart matter. So as I thought about that and I reread those encounters, I'm reminded to do a heart check this season. I'm reminded to trust God that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. I'm reminded to believe that God is with us and to give our doubts to him. And then let's remember this season that what we say, what the Bible says, is that our tongue has the power to give life or death. So what we say matters. It makes a difference. And then the Bible says that what you say flows from what is in your heart. And those are that's the difference between those two encounters. And what I really love about that is God still did what he said he was going to do despite of how Zechariah responded. Right? I love that about that. That God uses us in spite of us. But let's remember this season to truly let our words flow and do a heart check and make sure our heart is pure in everything that we say and everything that we do. Amen? Let's give to God this today. You can download PushPay and give that way. You can text to give. You can give with an envelope and put it in one of the mailboxes on your way out. Or you can send it in the mail throughout the week. And that QR code we've been talking about, all you have to do is open up your phone, the camera. You can actually hold it up right now, and it'll take you to a place to give right on your phone. Pastor Marty?
Beautiful. Come on, give Pastor Aaron a big God bless you. Real quick, Carol, where are you? Stand up. She's leaving for Mexico tomorrow morning on a missions trip. Lord, we pray blessing, safety, and supernatural favor over her life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, Carol. We're so proud of you. This Thursday night, Carrie Cardinelli Shop will be here with Carlton Wilcox, two of the greatest voices in the whole Western New York region. You'll want to be here for sure. Our Thursday nights have been great. Last Thursday, Pastor Aaron and Divine Dance. Wasn't that just amazing? It was just so incredible. Our small groups are still going great. If you're not in one, you want to learn more about it, go to the website, thecitychurch.com, and you can find out all about that. And I know there's many people today that in this area right near us that are dealing with still power out, damage to their house, to property, and our hearts go out to you, and we're praying with you and believing God for restoration. And then those six states, Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, Tennessee, what tragedy in some of those areas. So, Lord, we pray for those who are hurting today as a result of these storms that have come through. I pray your grace and peace upon those in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, and everybody said a big amen. Hey, this morning, my son, Pastor Ryan, will you give him a big God bless you as he comes?
Good morning. Merry Christmas. If you wonder where I walk out to before I speak, it's not to do anything important. Well, it is, but it's to use the bathroom because I get a little nervous. So, amen. Hey, I'm just so blessed, and I felt the Lord to say this all week to you. I'm so blessed to do life with you, each of you. It's like a big puzzle, isn't it? And if you're missing one puzzle piece, it's not too fun, is it? And so thank you, and I love you. This message this week was a little tougher to put together for me. We've been busy here. This place has been busy. There's a lot of stuff that goes on during the week. One of those things, Wednesday morning, we had a food distribution. The weather wasn't cooperating with us. It was about 18 degrees when I pulled in the morning, and there was some snow on the ground, and the truck drivers were a little bit late. And my dad said in the first service, he said, take the moments with the people that the Lord sends you. And I'm telling you, the people that came through that line, some of you are here this morning. It was a great moment of ministry, and I just encourage you to pause in those moments and use the moments that God gives you and sends you and recognize them to be awesome kingdom moments. Amen. And not this week, but next Wednesday, we got a call this week that they're going to bring us 500 chickens. And so on top of all the other food, now you're going to show up. I know. Yeah. But on top of all, this Wednesday? Yeah, not this Wednesday, next Wednesday. Yeah, next Wednesday, not this Wednesday. If you come this Wednesday, bring coffee with you. There won't be any food there. Amen. But I'll be there. But next Wednesday, 500 chickens, lots of food, and God just keeps opening up doors for us. I believe that when you want to do the gospel mission, go into all the world, preach the gospel, love on people, that he continually opens doors to allow you to have a voice into people, and that's what we're going to continue to do in the region here, and I believe God honors that. So in the world today, we talked about in the church is doing the work of the Lord, but in the world today, many of you, I've talked to many of you this week, and this is, Dad said it in the first service, and I want to reiterate it because I think it was a Holy Spirit word. He said, there's a lot of people talking about their rights, and this is my right, and that's my right. And my dad said, let's talk more about the privileges that we have instead of the rights that we have. And let me add to that, because I looked it up after the first service. I didn't have time after you had said it. But Romans 15, the Bible says to give up your rights. And somebody's having trouble with that right now because I have a right to bear arms. And listen, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about opinions. I'm talking about perspectives that sometimes we need to lay them down a little bit for the gospel message. And instead of closing the door in someone's face that maybe views things a little different than us and perspectives a little different, I have perspectives, okay? I have them, but it's more important to me to bring people to Jesus than to share with people my perspective. And so let me just encourage you. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to share. Let me encourage you in something. If you have never read or can't tell me this morning, if I brought the mic to you right now, what Romans 14 and 15 talks about, you have to read Romans 14 and Romans 15 and understand what the gospel says about perspectives. And let me just give you a little light on it. Paul is teaching about the right to eat pork. And he's using pork as a metaphor to build off of opinion. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. And then he goes into Romans 15 and he talks about those of us that are very strong in mind and opinion. He talks to us too, and he says it in a way that's pretty forward. Amen. How many of you like it forward? Amen. He says it. So I'm thankful for the body of Christ really keeping a perspective of godliness and a perspective of love ahead of opinion. But I want to say this to you, that we are being encouraged to be divided, to pick a side, and to isolate from people that have different perspectives than we do. And I want to read something to you, and this speaks to isolation. This speaks to divisiveness, and it's in Ephesians 4 and 16. It says, for to him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, joined and knit firmly together by what every joint supplies. When each part is working properly, it causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in an unselfish love. That's in the Amplified Version. And I want you to say this with me, building itself up. Say it again, building itself up. We're called to build each other up. We're called to build the kingdom of God. And it's difficult to hide from the difficulty that's in the world today. Cultural divisiveness, pick a side. There's changes in culture. There's changes in economics. Even with the word Christmas. If you say the word Christmas in the wrong place at the wrong time, you will get a sort of a look like, hey, you shouldn't say Christmas. You should say holidays. Now, listen, I go around and I say Christmas all the time because I believe that there's a God in heaven that sent Christ into a manger. And that's what the Christmas season is about. I'm not talking about that stuff. Those are theological foundations that we believe in. We don't have to pick a side on that. We know what the scripture says about it. But what I am talking about is the opinion that fish is better than burgers. I will argue with you that burgers are better than fish. No, the point is we shouldn't argue about things and hang our hat on things and be divisive about things that in a year from now, if it doesn't matter, it don't matter today. Amen. And so I've been praying about what to share this morning from the sermon series that my dad has started called I'll Be Whole for Christmas. And no one grew up in this room saying, man, I really want to be dysfunctional. Man, it's my dream. I really want to be angry. I really want to be emotionally unstable. I really want to have difficulties of all forms. No, what happens is that we go through life and these difficulties are attached to us. And thus this series, I'll Be Whole for Christmas, because God doesn't want you to go through another Christmas with the issue you had last Christmas. He wants you to develop and work through the difficulty and the lack thereof of wholeness that you do have. And I want to read something to you in the Message version of 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. I'm going to read just a couple more scriptures and then just share with you a couple quick thoughts. And it says these words, whenever, though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present and living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized to be obsolete. Now, I really want you to pay attention to these words because they're important. You'll miss the whole message if you don't. We're free from it, all of us, nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters into our lives. We become more like him. What this means is that God, by sending, and I keep looking to this side, it's over here, God sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world wasn't just for a ticket to heaven. It wasn't just for a moment of all of a sudden the stars come together, I have a wow moment, and I accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and here I am, totally fixed, totally whole, totally put back together. No, it doesn't mean that. Christ was born in a manger, and I love this version because we are being transformed like Christ. That's what the scripture says. So if we believe that in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, that we come to this wholeness, we are misled and misguided. The truth is, this is a lifetime journey, and it doesn't happen by happenstance. It doesn't happen by wish. It doesn't happen by thought. It happens as we take the journey called life. It doesn't happen because you got a new apartment. It doesn't happen because you bought a new house. It doesn't happen because of material things. It happens because of a relationship, continued relationship with Christ himself. I wrote this down in my notes. The church is guilty in some respects that transformation is easily obtainable. And we don't do it on purpose, but sometimes we talk about the transformation of Jesus Christ in our lives like there's no drama. Can I tell you this morning, can I speak to someone at home this morning? Your transformation at times has drama involved in it. And we show our stars and we don't show our scars. And if it's not pretty, we don't post it, or we put it on whatever these sites are where you can change your skin color and all this stuff. I don't know how to use it. But we don't post the real us. We post a narrative that we want people to believe. And a couple Thursday nights ago, I came early, and they came up and they sat down to me, and I said, "How you doing?" And they said to me, "You know, I'm really discouraged right now. I'm really depressed right now. I go through this time of year, I go through difficulty. I go through issues in my heart and in my soul and in my mind." And what would happen if we shared our scars and we were transparent with people about the transformation that Jesus Christ is not only has done, but is doing in us at this current time? This is what I believe would happen. I believe we would encourage new believers to engage in the transformation process, not look at their transformation and go, "Man, I'm shameful because no one else is dealing with this." Sometimes we spend so much time on image that we spend no time on our true reality. This week I went to class for 2 days, and I'm sitting in class, and the teacher is up in front of the class who has 3 doctorates, and I mean, the guy's just, he's brilliant beyond brilliant, and the more he talked, the smaller I felt. And the more he taught, the more I wanted to crawl underneath my chair. We got to dinner that night, and he said, "Ryan, how you doing?" I said, "Great." And he said, "What'd you think of the class today?" I said, "If I'm being honest with you, the more you talk, the more I wanted to run out the back of the room." And he said something to me, I'll never forget it as long as I live. He said, "I didn't do justice teaching then. Because I need you to understand that the transformational process doesn't just happen in a moment. It's a journey. Look at my coat. I've arrived. Look at my degree. I've arrived. Look at my family. Look at my pride. But the problem with all these narratives and all these images that we put on is we can't take a degree to bed with us. Amen. You can't take a P&L statement from your business to bed with you. And if you do, you do need prayer. You are left with the reality of who you truly are. And I've really got to move. And I'm just going to, just briefly, I got about 5 minutes. I'm going to just touch on a couple things. But I want to read one more portion of script, 2 more, and then I'm done reading. Isaiah 9:6 says these words, "For unto us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called," listen to this, Isaiah foretold the birth of Jesus, and this is what he said, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, he says these words, "He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Two names that I want to pull from is Counselor and Father. A counselor is not for a one-time session. A counselor takes you on a journey to wholeness. And Christ isn't going to meet you one time and you're just going to have it all together and you're going to, it's a facade. If you present yourself that way, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, ma'am. It's a facade. It's a narrative that you want people to believe. The truth of the matter is when you meet Jesus Christ, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, as you begin to say yes to the Christ that was born in a manger, he becomes your counselor, and that's where the journey starts. I'll pick the other name, Father. My father didn't come into my life as a 10-year-old, hand me a book of do and don'ts and say, hey, man, I'll see you on the other side of heaven. This has been a good journey. No, a father walks with you through life. And whether you have a physical father or not, maybe you just have a spiritual father in your life. You need to make sure, as well as they, that you are doing the journey with them, because there are lessons along the transfiguration, the transformative path that take place that you can't get in an instant. And this is just basic truth. This is just stuff that I believe that every believer should know, because if you don't know it and you haven't known Christ long, you will begin to think. And if you go back and listen to my next message or my last message, I've been beating the drum on this. I've been beating the drum right along on this because I want you to know perfection in a moment is not the goal. Transformation is the goal. Just a little moving. I did better than I did yesterday. I did a little better than I did the day before. I kept it together. I wanted to lose it, but I kept it together. Transformation taking place in your life and mine. And I'm gonna read one more scripture, and then I'm gonna give you a couple thoughts. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says this: by the grace of God has been given to me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ, which is what we are celebrating right now. He built the foundation. If anyone builds on a foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Can I tell you, sir and ma'am, that you can come in here and you can go through the motions and you can crowd back just far enough so nobody gets to know you? That's not where transformation takes place. Their work will be shown. My work will be shown, because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet he'll be saved, even only as escaping through flames. This morning, I want to share with you 4 quick points on building to wholeness. This man, the Apostle Paul, is a builder. He has not arrived. You know the story of the Apostle Paul, and if you don't, go and read it. The guy is a persecutor of the faith. The guy hates Christians. And this is the very man that is writing the New Testament and writes to you and writes to me and says, your faith is a journey. It's not an arrival. My first thought this morning: what am I building on the foundation I've been given? Christ is the foundation. You've received him as your Lord and Savior. You've received salvation from heaven, but you've also received the mandate from heaven that you must build on the gift that you've been given. Christ is the gift. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the answer. But the foundation, God is asking you, he's asking me to build on the foundation that's been given. We need to commit everything that we do to Christ. He goes on further to name such products. The Apostle Paul says gold, silver, stones, and so on. And here's what I pulled from that. Why did he name the product? Because some of the product, when they go through the fire, they might change shape a little bit, but they're still the product that they were before the fire. Some product that we're using, the Apostle Paul is using a metaphor, that some of the product that we're using, it'll be dust, it'll be ash by the time the fire is done with. What are we building on? Pastor Aaron, my dad gets up here. I get up here. People get up here and tell you, you need to be in the scripture. That's like handing you gold, handing you precious silver, handing you stone, and saying, here's what you want to build with. Here's what you want to grow with. Here's the building blocks of your on top of the foundation that Jesus Christ gave. If you're not building with that stuff, coming to church on a Sunday isn't enough. Being a biblical literate church is what the silver and the stone and the gold is all about. My second thought, no matter what I build on, I'm going to get burned from time to time. Oh, why would you say that? I don't want to get burned around Christmas. Neither do I. I don't want to get burned. But the Apostle Paul says, if I'm a fire dodger, I'll never be a builder, because the fire comes to test the product that is being built. We are working on who we are, not on the image that we represent. Can I tell you this morning, if all you think about is how you look on the outside and you think people can't see you on the inside, I'm sorry, you're building in the wrong place. What blows my mind is people will, if they were in a natural fire, they'd scream and hoot and holler. But in a spiritual fire, their mouth is closed. I would scream like a 5-year-old girl if a fire broke out in here. You would hear me yell and scream and hoot and holler because I don't want to be burned. How do you scream? Do you read the Psalms and hear how David screams about his difficulty? He talks to God. He's telling the Lord, I don't want to go through this, God. Help me, Lord. How do you scream when the fire falls on your life and mine? If anyone builds on this foundation that Christ has laid, only some will build. My mom this morning, I came in early this morning, and my mom was talking to an individual, I'll just say somewhere in here. And I could see the individual's face. They weren't exactly wild about what she was saying to him. But what she was doing is she was building. She was helping. She was encouraging. She was saying, try this way. Because she understands you have to build on the foundation you've been given. My third thought this morning, if you're going to build something strong that's going to last, are you strong enough to withstand the people who don't build? I got to say it. I've known believers for 30 years that are double my age that have never built on the foundation they've been given. I knew I wouldn't get an amen. It's okay. Are you strong enough to withstand that type of pressure? Or is winning the approval of people that aren't building and the friendship from people that aren't building more important to you than actually building on the foundation that Christ has given? Can I submit to you that parenting is imperative in this stage? That when an individual is encouraged and built up by parents, they won't look to other people for gratification. They won't look to other people for encouragement. They'll look to the parent. When fathers and mothers aren't encouraging and supporting kids, building them up, criticism from others just reinforces what was already there. And I don't have any more time, but Aaron was given a pattern to build the robes for the priest. Moses was given a pattern on how to build the tabernacle. David was given a pattern on how to build the temple and then handed those patterns off to Solomon. What would happen if David said, if Solomon said, if Noah said, I don't need your plan, Lord. I want to do it in my own accord. It'd be a mess. Dads, moms, the pattern, Petraeus, that you make, the Greek word for father, Petraeus, it means to pattern. The pattern that you're laying for your families are absolutely imperative. And my last point, Jesus didn't come to be a cute baby in a manger. He came to be our pattern for building. You want to start over? Give your life to Jesus. But he calls you to personal discipleship. It's not going to happen by a wish. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, faith people. It's not going to happen by prayer. It's going to take action on your side. It's going to take building on your side. It's going to take character strength on your side to build what God has created and predestined for you to be. We don't have time to build our own patterns anymore. We have time to take the design. The Bible says, unless the Lord build it, the laborers labor in vain. You know that scripture? As you study that scripture, you know what that means? That God is the architect, I am the carpenter. I'll be whole for Christmas. He's given us the plan. Now we must build it. So get your Bible out. Get on your knees during this Christmas season and begin to build to wholeness. Because if you don't build it, you won't live in it. If you don't start dreaming, stop dreaming and start building. If you don't stop wishing and start building. If you don't stop hoping and start building, you will never live in the dream that God has sown into your life. If you stay in this room long enough, you'll be a builder. You want to become a builder? Get around great builders. And here's my last question. What hurt you so bad that you stopped building? Remember when Jesus came to Mary and Martha? And they called him. They said, our brother, he's sick. He's dying. And he got there. And they said, you're too late. He's died. What was the first thing that he said to them? He looked at him and said, tell me where you laid him down. My question for you today is, where did you lay down the tools that God gave you to build the dream that you're supposed to live in? Whatever hurts you, whatever scarred you, whatever the dysfunction, whatever the problem is, you got to get back to what he's called to. Those of you over 50 and 60, I talked to a guy this week. He said, you know, the worst thing I ever did is retire. I began to talk to him and ask him questions. And I said, can I submit to you? It's not you retiring from your job. It's you quitting building God's kingdom. He's called you in this next season to be the builder that he wants you to be. You know, my dad right now, he makes fun. Go ahead, Debbie. My dad makes fun right now. He teases. He says, I'll never quit. I'll never retire. You know how profound that is? Do you know how powerful that is? That when he can't do it himself, he's up behind me saying, get building. Get to work. He might not be able to do it in a physical sense. He might not be able to run the ball like he did at one point, but at least he'll be on the sideline saying, this is how I did it. This is how it worked. Now get out there and make it happen. And for some of you this morning, and I'm looking right into your hearts and your spirits. You just sat down and said, well, they can do it on their own now. I'm calling you to action. It's time. It's a moment. You want your hope back? Get building. You want fulfillment back? Get building. You want your joy back? I'm just not happy around Christmas anymore. It's because you stopped building what Christ came to have you build. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd call every person in here that quit, that laid down the hammer, and they laid down, God, your word, the sword of the Spirit. They just quit. They ran off to the sideline. God, would you begin in them again to burn afresh and new? Do it in them, Father. I pray over this church. I pray over this ministry, that this ministry would be known to be a building house, that we build people, that we build families, that we build community, that we build our city. And Father, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise. We'll tell men everywhere that you did it and that it pays to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you this morning. Merry, Merry Christmas. Go build somebody today. And go Bills. Amen. Have a good day.